So I've been to a few Carmen concerts, and they've been pretty cool. One thing I've always noticed is I leave hungry, or I get there hungry and I leave full. And that's what we're going to experience tonight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this night. We thank you for Carmen and his ministry. We ask, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would be present, powerful, that we would all feel you, sense you, and leave here filled with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Carmen.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Let me hear somebody say, Jesus is.
Jesus is.
Oh, you do better than that. Jesus is.
The best thing that has ever happened to me.
If you believe that, give the Lord the highest praise here today. Come on.
Well, what a nice big crowd we have here today. A bunch of fanatics. Well, it's an honor to be here to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ set to music, and we're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to do a little dance, make a little noise, get down to... And I have a word for you. I have some encouraging word. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to encourage you. But I have to say this, is that I am not going to be politically correct. Do you realize in the day and age in which we live, you can't even insult somebody unless you're politically correct? You can't say your wife nags you anymore. You have to say she's verbally repetitive. You can't say a man has gone bald. He now is in follicle regression. You can't call a woman a dumb blonde. You have to say she's a light hair detour off the information freeway. You can't say a man has a beer belly. He now has a liquid grain storage facility. And you cannot say that someone is a bad dancer. They're just overly Caucasian. Remember, even husbands and wives have to argue politically correct. I was reading about a guy getting mad at his wife because he was trying to teach her how to drive stick, and she keeps grinding the gears. And he said, honey, I don't know why God made you so beautiful, but so dumb. And she said, well, he made me beautiful so that you'd marry me, and he made me dumb so that I'd marry you. So we're not going to be politically correct here tonight. That means we get to talk about Jesus. Amen? And when we're talking about Jesus, I want to be specific about which Jesus, because there's lots of Jesuses out there. Just because somebody says the word Jesus don't mean they're talking about the same Jesus, because somebody might say, well, he's one God among many other gods, and you're going to become a God someday. And somebody might say, well, he is the great philosopher, the great seer in the sixth sphere. Somebody say, he was a wonderful teacher. But the Jesus we're talking about here tonight from Scripture is the one and only eternal God himself in human flesh walking among men. This is the Jesus. But the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. For God so loved the world, he gave his only. So that means it's just one. Let's try some music. I can sing it better than I can say it. Let's push track one and let's see what happens. Just a little feedback, just a little volume down, just a little bit, just a little bit. Push play, and it'll all be okay. Oh, here we go. There's something. Is that too soft? Okay, turn it up a little bit. The Bible says he's King of the Jews, King of righteousness, King of glory, too. He's enshrined as sovereign king in every way. He's king of the heavens, of the ages, and more. He's king of all kings, and he's lord of all lords. Now, that's my king, and I wonder, does anybody know him today? He's endurably strong, entirely sincere, eternally steadfast, impervious to fear. He's immortally graceful with the impartial mercy he's shown. He's been misinterpreted, misrepresented, yet he's unparalleled and unprecedented as the greatest phenomenon this world has ever known. No means of measure can begin to define his limitless love for all mankind. He's a sinner's savior and still the one true only way. He's the loftiest idea in all literature read, the highest ideal in the philosopher's head. He's the real master of the universe. Now, do you know my king today? He's limitless in goodness and mercy and love. His grace is sufficient. His word is enough. He's the key to all knowledge and the pathway to every good thing. He's the highway to righteousness, compassion to indifference, the wellspring of wisdom, the doorway to deliverance. You can't live without him, and you can't outlive him. Does anybody know my king? Pilate couldn't fault them, an angry mob couldn't chill them, the cross didn't slow them, Herod couldn't kill them, death couldn't handle them, and the grave could not hold him down. He'll make you want to sing, he'll make you clap your hand, he'll make you want to testify, preach to every man, and sometimes, like right now, he'll make you want to stand up, make some noise, and just shout! Everybody! I gotta know one thing, does anybody love Jesus? Let me hear you say, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do. Divide this place perfectly in half. This side over here is going to be the A side. Does anybody love Jesus on the A side? This is the B side. Anybody love him on the B side? Are there more fanatics on the A side or the B side? I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do. Give him praise here today. Come on. Everybody. There's the beat. I gotta know something. There's some here that are saved, but there's anybody here who is radically saved? I said radically saved. Anybody radically saved? Jesus Christ is Lord. How many know that God's still on the throne? Is there power in the blood? Is anybody saved to the bone? If the devil comes against us, he's gonna feel some pain. I can bind him, bruise him, cast him out by the power of Jesus' name. No longer on the outside, on the inside I now stand. I'm sold out, the whole route, completely born again. I believe on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. The world thinks we're crazy. I am just radically saved. Choose you this day. Tell me, who will you serve? Now's the time to stand up. You gotta let your voice be heard. You gotta come out from among the rest. Tell the gospel tale. You tell them black is black. white is white, hell is hot, sin ain't right, God is holy, Christ is coming, and righteousness will prevail. I'll tell it to you once, I'll tell it to you twice. The only thing that's gonna change this world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wimpy saints won't survive in spiritual warfare. If you know that Jesus is the only way, let me hear somebody say, yeah! Well, on the inside of we now stand, we are sold out, the whole route. Anybody born again? I believe on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. The world thinks we're crazy. Our friends think we are crazy. Our family thinks we're crazy. But we are just what? We are radically saved. How many radically saved here tonight? Come on. You may be seated. Sit down, sit down, sit down. 2,000 years ago, a bunch of townspeople saw a dead man walking out of a tomb wrapped in grave clothes, and it looked like this. Dead folks ain't supposed to be walking, but Jesus just said, Lazarus, come forth.
I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
A certain man had died in the town of Bethany, and Lazarus was his name. The Bible says he was a man that Jesus loved, and his sisters, they thought it was a shame. Mary and Martha longed for Jesus' healing touch to come and raise their brother, because they loved that boy so much. But Jesus had a plan, not known to any man, that would soon take away their pain. They was waiting for Jesus to come and say, Lazarus, oh, Lazarus, hey, Lazarus, come forth. Now when he died, he went to where the saints of God did stay. In a holding place, they lived beyond the tomb. Lazarus slipped on down to the paradise. And there he saw Elijah, Moses, Samuel, even Ruth, and all the others jammed up in a room. He turned around and saw old Gideon standing by the door. He walked up, said, hey, brother, tell me, what's this group here for? Well, Giddy said, well, all right, this is testimony night. Have a seat, Lazarus, because, brother, the meeting is starting soon. While Mary and Martha just wanted to see their Lazarus. Oh, Lazarus, when will their Lazarus come forth? Moses shook his stick, said, now this meeting come to order. Can I get a witness for the Lord tonight? Old Abraham kicked it off, said, I want y'all to know that I knew him. He gave a child to my barren wife. Isaac waved his hand, said, hey, Daddy, Daddy, I knew him too. Jacob jumped up, says, amen, Grandpa. Preach it. Old dignified Solomon adjusted his robe, said, well, I knew him too. He made me so smart, I started to teach it. Ezekiel said, I knew him as a wheel within a wheel. Job said, man, he healed me when I was almost dead. Samson said, I know when some Philistines tried to jump me. I took a donkey jawbone and I busted a few heads. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we knew him in a fiery furnace. Jonah said, man, he gave me a second chance. Daniel cried out, hey, I knew him in a hungry den of lions. and the Holy Ghost hit King David. He just started to dance. Lazarus got so excited, he shouted, "Hey, man, I knew him too." Moses put down the stick, said, "Hey, who's the new kid?" Needless to say, the room got real quiet when Lazarus said, "But you see, brothers, I knew him in a way that y'all never did." He said, "Look, man, I walked with him. I talked with him. I saw how his teachings awed the crowds. Those famous tears of compassion, I could actually see. He used to come over to my house after church. My two sisters would make him dinner every month, faithfully, brethren. I even supported his ministry. Man, I watched him confront the Pharisees. I was there when he fed the 5,000. I heard the people gasp when he would heal the lame. I even remember the littlest things, things most folks would just forget, like the simple, loving way he would just call my name." Now, up at the gravestone rolled away with a loud voice, Jesus starts to say,
"Lazarus."
You see, brothers, it just seemed like yesterday I could hear that man say my name. I just want to testify, praise the Lord.
Lazarus.
Matter of fact, it seemed like today I could hear him saying my name. I just want to say everything.
Lazarus.
As a matter of fact, I think I hear him calling me now.
Lazarus.
Jesus.
Lazarus.
Jesus.
Lazarus.
Jesus.
Lazarus.
Jesus.
Lazarus.
Jesus.
Come forth. Come forth. I command you. Come forth.
Jesus said Lazarus. I heard him say Lazarus. And I saw him say Lazarus. Come forth. Like he was saying, sickness be healed. Mountain be moved. When he said Lazarus.
How many can feel the presence of the Lord here tonight? Amen. Can I hear somebody say this with me? I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus in this place. Yes, my soul does burn within me. I feel Jesus in this place.
Can you say it with me?
I feel
all the sopranos and the altos and the tenors.
I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus.
In this place.
In this place.
Yes, my soul.
Yes, my soul does
burn within me. Jesus,
I feel Jesus
in this place.
In this place.
The scripture says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. How many new creations are here today? Any new creations? Okay, I can see it, but I can't hear it. How many new creations are here? How many of you new creations would recommend Jesus to anybody in your family? Anybody in your family? How many of you new creations would recommend Jesus to anybody in Washington right now? Come on.
The world needs Jesus. This is why you're here tonight. You brought with you all of your pain and your anxiety and your disappointment and your fear, and you came here tonight because there's ministry for you within these four walls. No matter what discouragement you have brought with you, you've come to the right place. It's the right time. This is your time. Tonight, God wants to touch your heart. He wants to speak to you in a way that you can understand. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask you a simple question. The Bible says God inhabits what? The praises of his people. When we come with all our fears, the Bible calls that the spirit of heaviness. But it says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many are ready to put on the garment of praise? Let's give God something to inhabit. Let's say, I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. Somebody say, I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus.
He's in this place.
In this place.
Yes, my soul.
Yes, my soul.
Burn within me.
I feel Jesus
in this place.
In this place.
Let's give him an ovation fitting for a king here tonight. Come on, I feel Jesus. Come on, somebody praise him. I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus.
Somebody say, I feel Jesus.
I feel
Jesus.
In this place.
Yes, my soul.
Yes, my soul.
Burn within me.
Burn within me.
Oh, I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus.
In this place. Jesus in this place, give him the highest praise here tonight. Come on. 10 seconds worth of praise. 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3, go! You got 5 seconds of praise. 5 seconds, that's all. 4, 3, 2. Sit down, you're acting like a bunch of fanatics. I want to talk to you real briefly tonight about something that has to do with the worst moment of your life. And I know you're trying to forget about the worst moment of your life, but sometimes the thing that happens to us at the worst moment of our lives gives us sort of a direction to go in, and it seems like it never lets us go. And every time we think about moving forward, or we think about accomplishing something, or we think about getting the confidence and the courage to go do something we've never done before, to get something we've never had before, we think about these worst moments of our lives. And they make us come to realize, you know, I really can't do all that. What am I doing? I'm thinking crazy. I can never accomplish this. I can never do that. The worst moment of our lives sometimes is not just the worst thing that ever happened, but the worst thing that we could ever allow to continue to happen in our minds. So tonight, I want to talk about that very briefly. And the next song I want to sing for you has to do with the worst moment of someone's life. So very encouraging. So here's what I'm going to ask you tonight. Those of you that have flash cameras, if you could just hold off on the flashes, because it kind of it messes with people that are looking at me like this. They're going, wow, that's right. And then the flash goes off. They go, ow. Then they're seeing red spots. And plus, I'm from New Jersey. Whenever I see a flash go off, I want to dive under a car. So if we could hold off on the flashes, that'd be really, really appreciated. And I want to give you a passage of scripture tonight. This is going to be your scripture for the night. This is your scripture for the night. And it's out of John chapter 11 and verse 35. And it says this. Are you ready? 11:35 says, Jesus wept. That's it. So, thank you for coming tonight. God bless you. But why did Jesus weep? Where did he weep? What were the circumstances around him weeping? We're going to see something that we've never seen before. Here's the thing. When people find out about stuff we've done in the past, they have a tendency to write us off and to not allow us or give us confidence to do something in the future. I heard about this guy who was trying to make a point about people who do certain things and how it disqualifies them from being really good Christians, right? So he got this thing. He was talking about there's things you should never do if you're saved, right? So what he did was he got four worms, and he took one worm and he put it in a jar and he filled it with smoke and closed the lid. Took another worm and put it in a martini, closed the lid. Put another worm, put it in chocolate, closed the lid. Put another worm, put it in dirt, close the lid, comes back a few hours later, and all the worms are dead except for the one that was in dirt. So he says, you see, smoking, drinking, and eating too much will tell you a story. So then, and then of course he asked the people, does anybody want to share what you've learned from this? And one guy says, well, okay, so if I smoke, if I drink, and if I eat too much chocolate, I won't get worms. So for those of you that like to go kill worms on your free time, this I think is for you. Because it's hard to fill someone else's expectations of what you're supposed to be as a Christian. It's hard to just live up to everybody's ideal of what you're supposed to be able to do and be if you're really going to be considered a born-again Christian and really living for the Lord. Because somebody could always find something in your life that disqualifies you from being looked at as an honorable person. I had this thought, what if we were to go through Scripture and we were to take out some of the people that have really done significant things for God? These are the heroes of the Bible. The people that have written the scripture, the people that the scripture have written about, that have made all the difference, the heroes, the people we hear about every Sunday morning, every time a sermon is preached, these are the people we hear about. If we were to try to get some of these people to come and sing or speak at our churches, and they had to go through the church board to qualify, this was probably what happened. I'd say, let's have Adam come and speak for us. First man who ever lived. Come on, man, what can you say about Adam? And the church board would probably say, well, Adam, he's a good guy, but he's got problems at home. He's got issues with his wife. I mean, she's a little out of control, and last time we know, she was running through the woods without no clothes on. We can't have Adam come. Okay, what about David? King David says, well, David's good. He's a real tough guy. You know, he's strong, but David, look, we read that the guy had an affair with this guy's wife, and next thing you know, the wife's husband wound up dead. We don't want to say anything, but we think the guy's connected to the mafia. It's too sticky. We can't have David come at our church. Okay, what about Solomon? Wisest man who ever lived, Solomon. Solomon, well, you think David had women problems. Solomon's women problems are 1,000 times greater than David's, literally. What about Jonah? Jonah, oh, look, we call Jonah. Jonah, he's very enthusiastic, but he was telling us this story about how He was out on the ocean, and a whale got a hold of him and ate him, and then he spit him up on shore. We're thinking the only people that come up with stories like that are these crazy Pentecostals. We can't have him. He's just too wild. He's just too out there. We can't have Jonah come. Okay, what about John? John the Baptist? Well, he's cool. Well, John the Baptist, he says he's a Baptist, but he sure don't dress like one. Okay, what about Jesus? Well, Jesus, look, Jesus, very popular, had this big church, had 5,000 members at one time. He so offended everybody, it dwindled down to 12. And he's never in one place at one time. He's always moving around. And let's face it, he's never going to amount to anything in the ministry because Jesus is single. Do you see how somebody can disqualify anybody for anything if they just look in their past enough? Look, if you look in anybody's past enough, you're going to find something. So sometimes people look at the worst moment of your lives and they make a decision about the rest of your life based on the worst moment of your life. I had something that happened to me that I want to share with you tonight. I have a niece, and my niece loves kitty cats. So at Christmas time a few years ago, she wanted to go look at the kitty cats. So we took her to PetSmart. And when we were there, there was this, they had this like this window, and behind it they have all these cages where all the cats are. And we was watching this one little cat come out and just jump all over everybody. It was just the most playful, most charming, darling little kitty. And he was all gray, and he had white on his chest, white on his paws, a little white nose. And he was just the most playful thing, and he would jump on people's arms. And the kids loved him. And I'm watching this through the glass like it's a silent movie, you know? And I could see the parents play with him, and they look at the kid, and the kid shakes their head. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they want to adopt him. They take him to the cat lady, and they have this dialogue, and you could see the parent's face just drop. And all of a sudden, they take the kitty cat and they put him in a cage and they leave. So I'm like, well, what happened? Well, I'm on the tree. So I watch again. Three more people come by. The same scene happens. They love the cat. They play with him. They want to adopt him. They talk to the cat lady. She tells them something. They put the cat back in the cage. Well, I didn't let that get to me or anything because I was not going to get a kitty cat for my niece because that means I'd have to be messing with some cat. I hadn't had a cat since I was 17. Ain't going to happen. So we left, and I kept thinking about this little cat. So now I'm kind of intrigued. So I came back the next day by myself. And I watched this thing happen all over again. Same thing. They pick up the cat. They play with him. They talk to the cat lady. They shake their heads. They put the cat back. And now I'm like, what is up with this cat? So I went back a third time. When I went back, the place was, the little adoption center was closed. And you could see through the glass, and all the cages were empty except for this one cage where this little cat was, this little gray cat with the white and the white thing. And I'm looking at this cat, and I'm thinking, what is up? And a guy come by, he's like one of the workers there. I says, what's up with this cat? He says, well, you know, I don't know. He's just the only one that didn't get adopted. I said, why? This guy goes, I don't know. He says, but he sure likes you. I said, how do you know? He says, look. And the cat was on his back, waving at me. Like, on his back, like he was supposed to be there, like doing that. And he was waving. I says, he can't see me. He says, yeah, he can. He's looking at you. And he's on his side, and he's doing this. I'm like, all right, this cat's starting to unnerve me now. So I went back fourth time. This time, I'm going to go talk to this cat lady. I got to find out. So I go in this little door, and you know, you're closed off. And I said to the cat lady, I says, excuse me, I keep watching this thing happen where they get this little cat and the people play with him and they love him and they fall in love. She says, say no more. She says, you're talking about Phil. I says, Phil? She says, yeah, that's his name, Phil. And I says, how do you know? She says, well, everybody loves Phil. And she says, there he is right there. And he was on a cat tree right here, just sitting there looking at me like, what's up? And I'm like, he's staring at me like he knew I was coming back. Cats can't be that smart, can they? So and as I'm talking to the cat lady, he takes one of his little paws and he puts it on my shoulder.
And then I don't do anything, and then he puts another paw on my shoulder. Now he's like straddling between the cat tree and my shoulder. So then he hops over on my shoulder and starts to walk. And I'm like, did cats really do stuff like this? He did. He walked over here, walked over here, and came right over here and cuddled up like cats do, and he just stayed there and started to purr. And I said, okay, what's up with this cat? She says, well, when they brought him in, he was in really bad shape. He had been attacked by other cats. Somebody abandoned him in a trailer park, and they had cut open all his little insides. His stomach was all ripped open. So they had to take him to a surgeon to fix him. They had to do surgery on him. Well, when they did surgery, there was little things inside that were supposed to be one place, and now they're in another place, and things that are there that are not supposed to be there, things that are supposed to be there that are not there, which means he's so young that as he grows, he's probably going to have to need more surgeries as he gets older because he's been, you know, so damaged, but they saved his life. And, you know, and I could feel him, like, looking at me saying, so? And I felt bad for him, this poor little thing. And I said, so when you tell people this, she says, yep, when I tell them that he's probably going to have to surgery, they take him because they don't want to have to deal with all that. They put him back in the cage. Because of something that happened to him years before, this poor little thing keeps getting put back in the cage. And they love him until they find out something about him that they didn't know that maybe has nothing to do with where his life is going. And I thought to myself, you know, something happened to me that reminded me of this. A guy broke into my car and stole all my stereo equipment. And I had a bunch of CDs, and I had some of my CDs in there. And this guy broke in, took all my stereo equipment, stole all the CDs except for mine. I mean, this guy's a thief. He's on a clock, you know? And he has time to go through and go, a Carmen's, oh, what is that? Throws, like, he's not, doesn't want to even carry them around. And, like, I said, I know how that cat feels to have your stuff just taken and thrown back into this pen again. I said, that's my cat. So I adopted Phil, and he came home with me. So we've been having just a grand old time. And, you know, he's my cat all of a sudden. Now I own a cat. But sometimes you can be rejected by people around you based off of something that happened to you in your past that you had very little to do with, but it happened to you. And maybe you didn't respond right. Maybe you didn't do the thing right. But from that point on, every time somebody hears about this thing that happened to you or this thing that you did in your life, they write you off. And they make an assessment and a judgment on the worst moment of your life, and they determine that that is going to be what the rest of your life is going to be. Jesus had a friend named Lazarus. Jesus went to go see Lazarus because he was his friend and he was going to go visit him. Of course, Jesus, the Messiah. And if the Messiah is going to come see you, that's a big deal. Jesus hears that his friend, Lazarus, had died. And he was not showing any emotion. Matter of fact, his disciples said to him, well, maybe he's just sleeping. Jesus says, no, he's dead. They said, well, you're taking this very well. Because when you hear about somebody you love is about to die or has died, you start crying. Jesus showed no emotion. So he goes to the town where Lazarus is, and he sees Lazarus' sister. If you've ever gotten a phone call in the middle of the night to go visit somebody in a hospital because there's a tragedy, and you're trying to hold it together because you don't want to be upset because maybe you have to drive there and you got to keep it together. Even when you get there, you're still okay until you see the face of somebody that you know and your eyes meet. Jesus sees Lazarus' sister, and she says he's been dead for 4 days, and there's no emotion. Until Jesus says to her, take me to the place where you buried him. She took him to the grave, and when he got to the grave, the Bible says, Jesus wept. Not when he heard, not when he saw the family members, not when he found out he was dead for 4 days, but when he got to the grave, that's when he wept. Why? Because, folks, the grave is where you say, that's it. It's over. It's over and done. That's where you quit. And the fight and the struggle has come to its completion. There are many of you here tonight within the sound of my voice that have had issues in your life that have hurt you so bad, you said to yourself, I'm done. That's it. I quit. I don't want to do this no more. I can't put my heart out there. I can't try anymore. I'm not going to extend my faith anymore. You don't know how hurt I've been. It's over. Jesus says to Mary, he says, you take me to the place that's the worst moment of your life, the place where your brother died. And Lazarus knew maybe on the other side, Jesus was coming to visit him at the worst place in his life because this is where he was buried. Jesus is about to take the worst moment of his life and turn it into the best moment of his life. He's about to have something take place because of the worst moment of his life that's going to redefine the name Lazarus for time and eternity. Whoever you are, whatever you've been through, the world and people around you may see the worst moment of your life as what defines you for the rest of your life as a negative. Jesus sees the worst moment of your life as a positive to redefine you for the future. Because it was at the worst moment of Lazarus' life that he was resurrected. Because when somebody is resurrected from the dead, they're much more popular than when they were just walking around living. If you see somebody, you just haven't seen them for a few years, it's like, hey, what's up? But if you see somebody, you knew that they died, they had a funeral, and they were buried and are put in a grave, and then you see them walking around, that's a popular person. All of a sudden, their life has a whole different definition. There are many of you here right now who a part of you has died. Your dream, your passion to do something with your life has died. You've had somebody in your life that has broken your heart in 1,000 pieces, and you just don't want to trust anybody anymore. That part of you that loves, that trusts, has died. Maybe you wanted to go off and do something with your life. You had a career in mind, and maybe you got married and had 3 or 4 kids, and you didn't plan on all this happening, but it redirected your life, and there's a desire inside of you to go accomplish something, and that has died. Jesus wants to walk up to the worst moment of your life and say, come forth. Come back to life. I'm going to redefine your life because of the resurrection. The resurrection is the central theme of Scripture. This is why we can say Jesus is Lord. This is why we can say, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. How about you? With enthusiasm. This is why we clap our hands. This is why we raise our hands. People want the Christians. Why do Christians like to raise their hands when they sing? What's up with that? Look, when I was in school, if you knew the answer, what do you do? How many know who the answer is here tonight? What's his name? Jesus. See, that's why we raise our hand, because we know who the answer is. It's easy when that hand goes up because we know who the answer is. So tonight, I want to present something to you. I want to present Jesus going through the worst moment of his life so that you can have the best moment of your life. 2,000 years ago, he went to the cross to pay the death penalty for your sins. And it wasn't just some faraway imagery that took place in a distant land that we cannot sense or have any feeling for. But this is something that a real live human being actually went through. But he did it so that we would not have to. The best moment of your life can be the worst moment of your life. God wants to turn that and redefine your life based on the worst things that have ever happened. Tonight is your night. You've come to the right place. This is your night to be made whole. This is your night to get it together again. You may have thought your world was dead and gone and your dreams are gone. If you're still alive, if you can still hear my voice, if you still understand English, there's a part two for your life. There's a sequel to your life. There is another chapter that has not been written because you're still here and you're not here by accident. So tonight, I want to share a song with you. This is something that I wrote a while ago, and I think it's going to minister to you. Why don't you play that, push play on that? And years ago, I used to hear this commercial that said, this bud's for you, for all you do. And I remember thinking that people getting drunk, singing that song, this bud is for me, for all I've done. They're running into trees and signs and everything like that. And all the bud in the world never healed anybody, never saved anybody.
but it's not this but is for you, but this blood is for you for all you've done. How many know that's true here tonight? Whoever you are, whatever you've been through, the love of God that Jesus has for you was exemplified in the cross. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And this is what Jesus Christ did for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. This is what happened. Violently, they grabbed his arms as they tightly strapped each wrist. With a hellish look stood a strong-armed soldier, a whip clenched in his fist. Laced with chips of bone, they beat him hard from his shoulders to his feet, and it sliced right through his olive skin, just like razors through a sheet. Countless times the blood splattered as each inhuman lash was given. Several times his knees gave way as his flesh just hung like ribbons. Then surprisingly he turned his head, though the words he used were few. The soldier's face turned pale when he said, "This blood is for you." Uncaringly, they tossed a garment across his weakened form, and his blood pressure fell deathly low as the crowds began to swarm. They forced him to carry his cross uphill as his face they punched and smacked, while the splinters from the crisscross beam dug deep into his back. Through lack of sleep and dehydration, his tongue began to swell. And weakened by his loss of blood, this prophet teacher fell. And when he did, some blood splattered on a man named Simon Shue. And as he bent to wipe it off, the prophet looked and said, "Simon, this blood is for you. And this blood can save the soul and heal the sick and mend the heart. This blood can give you access to the very throne of God. And it still can go the distance through the pain to where you are. This blood is for you. The blood of the Lamb." Then they pounded a spike between the bones in his wrists, bursting arteries and veins. And as they dropped the cross in the hole they dug, his body convulsed with pain through an agony and a torment that never a soul shall find. He tilts his face towards heaven with full control of his mind, with more love than any human heard before that time or since. He made a statement that to this day makes the strongest skeptic wince. He cried, "Father God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And as he gave his life for those lost in sin, he was saying, "This blood is for you, and 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 for you. And this blood can save the soul and heal the sick and mend the heart. This blood can give you access to the very throne of God. And it still can go the distance through the pain to where you are. This blood is for you. If you're lost and alone and your mind is confused, this blood is for you. If you feel like you have been hurt and abused, this blood is for you. The atoning, cleansing blood of the Lamb. And this blood can save the soul and heal the sick and mend the heart. This blood still gives you access to the very throne of God. And it still can go the distance to the pain, to where you are. This blood is for you, the blood of the Lamb. This blood is for you. Somebody say,
oh, the blood of Jesus.
Can I hear you say,
oh, the blood of Jesus.
It washes, it washes white as snow. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, Lamb without spot and without blemish. Do some of you here tonight know what it's like to have your sins forgiven, to have the past washed away, to have the worst moment of your lives turned into the best moment of your lives? And you are thankful for the cross here tonight. If you're thankful for the cross, let me hear somebody lift your voice, lift your hand and say, I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for the cross
of Jesus.
I'm thankful for the blood.
I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus.
I'm thankful for the blood.
Oh, I'm thankful for the blood
of Jesus. It washes, it washes white as snow. Lift your voice and say,
oh, the blood of Jesus.
Somebody praise him, oh. Somebody say,
oh, the blood of Jesus.
It washes white as snow. If you believe that, give God the praise here tonight. I'm going to ask if everybody would just please stand to your feet right now in respect for this next moment. There are many of you here tonight that don't know what it's like to have your sins washed away, be forgiven, to have the worst moment of your life turned into the best moment of your life. What we're going to do right now, we're going to open up the front of this stage. This is going to be your altar. I'm going to ask you to do something that I did many years ago, that most of us have done at some point in our lives. As we begin to sing this song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, if you need to make it right with the Lord, ask God to forgive you. Put your life back on the right track. As we're singing, I'm going to ask you to get out into those aisles and come on down here and just stand across the front. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask you to get up on the stage. But we're in this together. We're going to pray together. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. As we sing this song, this is your moment. Don't get good at walking away from the Lord, because you'll only get better. This is your night. As we sing, if that's you and you need to make it right with the Lord, you come on out. Just come on down here. Just stand across the front. We're going to pray with you. This is your moment. This is your night. As we sing, you come. I have decided, come on, to follow Jesus. I have decided. This is somebody's night. Come on. To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning. Ain't gonna be no turning back, no turning. We're gonna sing one more time. Some of you say, come on, man, what's a big deal about coming down to the front? I could do my prayer thing right where I'm at. It's no big deal. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't a big deal, you'd be down here right now. You've never had such a struggle in your entire life walking 20 feet as you do this very moment, because there's something in it. Every demon, every devil in hell knows when you take that first foot and you stick it out into the aisle that the first set of chains are going to snap off of your life. And you're going to know whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is your moment. You may want to grab the hand of somebody who's a friend of yours, a loved one, a parent, a child, a spouse. Grab them and say, I'll walk down with you. We'll pray through this thing together. God wants to change your life. We're going to sing one more time, then we're going to pray. As we sing, you come and just stand across the front. Though none go with me.
With me. Come on, come on. Still I will follow. Though none go with me. Though none go.
Anybody else? Come on. Anybody else?
Still I will follow, though none go with me, though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back, no turning back, ain't gonna be no turning back, no turning back.
The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then there will be no turning back. I'm going to ask if everyone would just please bow your heads and close your eyes in support of those that have made it down here to the front. Ask everyone to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. And on the third day, he rose up from the grave, conquering sin and death. I love you, Lord, and I want to live for you from this moment on. I renounce my old lifestyle. I renounce the works of Satan. From this day forward, my life belongs to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Give God the praise here today. Now, those of you that have made it down here to the front, you might say, okay, so now what do I do? What happens now? Well, give us the next few minutes of your life, and we're going to help show you what the next steps are to take to live a productive Christian life. We have counselors waiting for you. We're just going to walk you into the lobby, talk to you for a few minutes. Then you can slip back out and join your friends and your family. Nothing weird is going to happen. Counselors, I want you to show them which way that they're supposed to go, right out into the lobby there. We're going to see them in just a couple minutes. Let's let them know that we support them and their decision to make Jesus Lord of their lives. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. The devil thought he had him, but he didn't. Let me hear somebody say, he's good. He's good. He's good all the time. He healed my body, and he healed my mind. All right, those of you that are overly Caucasian, I want you to get your hands together right there. There's the beat. That's the way you say it. Here's how you sing it. You say, he's good, he's good, he's good all the time. He healed my body, and he healed my mind. No better friend you will ever find. He's good to me. He's good, he's good. He's good, oh, heal my body. He healed my body and he healed my mind. No better friend you will ever find. He's good to me. Now, the song says he'll heal your body and he'll heal your mind. Do you know that crazy people do not know they're crazy? Do you know you can be standing next to somebody right now who's out of their mind crazy and they do not know it, but you know it? So you could turn to that person next to you and say, look, I know you're crazy. Everybody knows you're crazy. The secret is out. You're busted. The whole church knows you're crazy. But you okay? Because he's good. He's good. He's good. Heal my body. He healed my body and he healed. No better friend. No better friend you were. Good to me. He's good to me. I know he's good. He's good.
He's good all the time.
Heal my body.
Heal my body and he healed my mind.
No better friend you will ever find. He's
to me.
No better friend,
no better friend you will ever find.
There's no better friend you will ever find. Say it.
No better friend you will ever find.
No better friend you'll ever find, because he is good to me. I know he's good to me. He's good to me. If he's good to anybody here tonight, give him the highest praise right now. Come on. You may be seated if you can. The scripture says, if there's any man who gives up anything, Jesus said, Mark, for my sake and for the gospel's, whether it be houses, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, fields, shall receive a hundredfold return, and in the world to come, eternal life. Which means this: there's nothing that you can do to outgive God. Anything that you give on behalf of the kingdom of God, there is a guarantee built in it, in the Word of God. And the Word of God is our blueprint for life. This is God's contract with us. So if you've ever signed a contract in your life, for a car, for a lease, for a house, for a mortgage, a job, you know that if you don't fulfill your end of the contract, you're in trouble. Contracts are only as good as the people that sign them. This is God's contract with us. And God gives us his laws and his rules on giving. So when it comes time for the offering, which is now, is exactly what we're going to do. I'm not taking up an offering for myself, but I'm going to receive an offering tonight for energy outreach. And energy outreach is something that's vital to this community. It has concerts and youth rallies and bonfires and volleyball games and takes people to Action City and does all sorts of fun stuff and really tries to bring unity to the body of Christ. It's a worthy cause. And I want you to understand that this is your community. This is where you live. This is where you go out to eat on Sundays and Saturdays, and where you go, you stop off and you get gas and your children go to school. And this is where you dwell. And this is something to make your lives and your community better. So as you give here tonight, I want you to understand two things. You, first off, you have a worthy cause to give to. But on the flip side of that, there is a bonus, because you cannot give without God blessing you in return. Matter of fact, he makes it specific on how he's going to do it. He maps out three different areas of blessing. The first thing he says is he's going to bless you on your family, your mother's, father's, children's, or brothers, sisters. Sometimes it's not about money. Sometimes it's about family relationships. Sometimes it's about kids that are lost that we haven't seen for a long time, or family members that don't talk to us, and we need a blessing on our family. Sometimes when we give our finances, this is where that blessing really needs to come back. Because as we give our finances is really just an altar call. You see, when I have people come down to the front who don't know Christ, that's the altar call for the unsaved. The altar call for those that are already saved is the offering. This is when you give part of your life, because your finance represents your life. You spend more time at work than you do with your family. So when you give, write a check, it's part of your life going in there. So as you sow your life in there, God wants to bless your life in the specific needs you have in your life. And sometimes that need is in your family. He also says he's going to bless you in your house, which means your own personal wealth or your own personal investments or what you're worth personally. Some of you care about what you're worth personally. Some of you care about your retirement, about the house that you buy, about the things you invest your money in. He wants to bless you there as well. And then the last thing he says is fields he'll bless us in. Fields means your dream, your goal, your career. Whatever you have a passion or a dream for, whatever your field is that you want to plant your dreams in, God wants to bless that too. So as you give your finances, understand something. What leaves your hand never leaves your life. Now, I know folks say, well, geez, you know, I pray all the time that God would bless me financially. I don't know, man. You know, I come down, I got my kids in church, and everybody's worshiping God, and we're raising our hands sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we raise our hands. You know, we bring our Bibles, and, you know, I hardly even cuss anymore. You know, I got my drinking's way down to a minimum. It's just the holidays, but, you know, things get rough. You know, I mean, you've made a marked improvement on your life. And you're down at the altar and you're praying. You say, Lord, how come I'm not blessed financially? What the heck is going on? Well, folks, if just living holy meant that you were going to be blessed financially, if that's all that it took, then every missionary would be a billionaire. And the mafia would be broke. Because they ain't living holy and they got more money than everybody. So what are we missing? Because I'm looking at a guy like Donald Trump. And he's walking around. He owns half of New York. And he never holds a Bible up. He never talks about his pastor. Doesn't talk about his church. Well, how come he's got everything that we got, barely a fraction of what this guy's got? And he doesn't even talk about Jesus. Because it has nothing to do with that. It's about sowing and reaping. If you sow, you will reap. See, we understand sowing and reaping when it comes to relationships. If you want respect, you sow respect. If you're a Christian, you want respect from somebody, you give them respect. They'll give you respect back. If you want love, you sow love. Love will come back. But if you're a Christian, you need money, you pray. Because you ain't going to sow no money, that's for sure. But see, what happens is when that money doesn't go into the ground, there's nothing for it to bless. There's no water can hit it so that it can grow and multiply. It's covered. It's protected from blessing. It's protected from increase. It's protected from multiplying. That finance has to go somewhere. This is a worthy cause. I have a passion that I'm passionate about. The church has a passion they're passionate about. My passion is I want to take people that are musicians and develop an online seminar where I'll teach people how to go from part-time to full-time ministry and teach them 52 lessons every Friday. We have a seminar we do every single week, and it's called the Game Changer Online Seminar. This is my passion, to take those that are working on the weekends, that are playing guitar, singing, dancing, whatever they do, and to use their ministry full-time. That's my passion, because I want to see the gospel get out. And there's people that just don't know what to do. They have all the ingredients, but they don't know the recipe. I teach them what the recipe is. And here, with the energy outreach, they have the ingredients and the recipe. So we're going to receive an offering for them here tonight. And I really want you to consider what you're going to do. Because check this out. When you leave here tonight, you're probably going to drive past a few bars that are still open. And when the church's lights are off and the doors are locked, the bars are still open. And the people are still donating to their cause and the things that they believe in. And they're still dropping their 20s and their 50s and their hundreds. And what's wrong with us? And we can't do something like that for the kingdom of God, to build the kingdom of God. And we just let somebody just struggle through it. And then we wonder why the church isn't built big enough. And then we look at how much we've actually contributed to the church over the years. It's minimal. We got to do something we've never done before to get results we've never had before. I want you to prayerfully consider what you would do. And if they make out a check, who should they make it out to? Energy Outreach. Okay, where's the ushers? Ushers ready? If you're making out a check, make it out to Energy Outreach. And come on down to the front. And remember, whatever leaves your hand never leaves your life. I want you to consider what you're going to do. And plant a seed in your own life for what God will do. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord God, we know that there's no way we can put a price tag on a soul. We cannot purchase someone's deliverance from drugs or alcoholism just because they give to a ministry. But what we can do tonight, Lord, is we can sow into your kingdom. We can support your work, your workers, and your word as it goes out across this country, and especially in our own city. This is where we live. We're going to invest in our own hometown first before we're going to go outside. Touch our hearts with faith tonight, Lord, so that we may do something for others. So we'll have something for you to bless and something in the ground for you to multiply. We give not as a debt, but as a seed we're sowing. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Amen. And I got a couple announcements to make and some
But the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, so we're going to have a little bit of cheer. Music, maestro? Let's put some music on there. Track number, whatever that track number is, I don't know. There it is. Hey, hey, yeah, yeah. Let me hear somebody say, no way. Oh, you do better than that. Say, no way. We are not ashamed of the gospel or his name. Holy hands are lifted high to the name of Jesus Christ. Say it again. No way. We're not ashamed. I got to teach you a little song here tonight. It's real simple. It goes like this. Let me hear you say, no way we are not ashamed of the gospel.
Of the gospel or his name. Holy hands are lifted high
to the name.
No way, no way we are not ashamed
of the gospel,
of the gospel or his name.
Holy
hands are lifted high
to the name
of Jesus Christ.
Okay, I want everybody to get out your cell phones. Everybody get your cell phones out right now. We're going to do something kind of fun. This is how we collect names for our mailing list to keep you informed of what's going on in the ministry. And also do something really fun as far as giving some stuff away, okay? So what I want you to do is send me your email address and your name. And then I'll find a name randomly and pick it out, and you will win a free T-shirt. And a T-shirt says, I'm a born-again, spirit-filled, blood-bought, red-hot, Bible-thumping, pew-jumping, Jesus-loving, devil-shoving, soul-redeeming, shouting, screaming, Bible-toting, scripture-quoting, sin-defacing, devil-chasing, all day radically saved, overcoming, child of God. Who would wear one of these things? Okay, you ready? The number you're going to send it to, email address and your name, is 615-417-3211. 615-417-3211. Somebody is going to win a T-shirt. Somebody say, no way, no way.
We are not ashamed
of the gospel.
Of the gospel, Lord, his name.
Holy hands.
To the name.
No way we're not ashamed.
No way we are not ashamed.
Of the gospel.
Of the gospel or his name.
Holy hands.
Holy hands are lifted high.
To the name.
To the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay. While they're sending them in, we have T-shirts. They're in the back over here. And they're in another room, the little hall. There's a big room out there. And I'm going to be coming into the back after it's all said and done and sign some stuff. And I'm going to cool off first. But there's places to get stuff here and in the back. Now, I hardly ever do this, but all the T-shirts, DVDs, CDs, I'm going to do everything tonight after concert special. Everything is $5 a piece. Everything. Five for as long as it, until it's all gone. Until it's gone, okay? So if you want to get one, it's just CDs, DVDs, everything, same price, $5 a piece. Okay, and the person who's going to get this T-shirt is, wow, they're coming in like flies. Okay, oh wait, there's just, I need a name on here somewhere. Sarah Smokshik. Smokshik, Sarah Smokshik, Smokshak, Shmer, is that you, Sarah? Come here, Sarah. Somebody say, no way, we're not ashamed. Sarah, you did it. Say, no.
No way, we are not ashamed of the gospel or his name. Holy hands are lifted high to the name of Jesus.
No way, we're not ashamed.
No way, we are not ashamed
of the gospel. I like to give stuff away here tonight. So here's another thing we're going to do. Those of you that came in, you got one of these cards, and on it, it talks about the Mobile Ministry Club. And there's another thing on here called the Game Changer Praise and Performance Seminar. And the Mobile Ministry Club is something that it comes to your cell phone or your laptop. It's if you're a fan of everything that I do, it all my music will come there. You downloads for free. It's real cheap. It's like $4.95 a month. That's it. $4.95 a month, and the first month is free. So if you fill one of these out, all the back, and you sign it and all the rest of that stuff and give it to the lady out in the back, you will get a free membership, or a membership, and we'll also get a free gift bag. I'm going to tell you what's in here, but let me tell you about this first.
And also, I have question and answer. People ask me questions, and I answer your questions online, and they post them. It'll come right to your cell phone. I got concerts that come to there, live performances. Every time I'm on TV, I got TV performances on there, movies that'll come on there. And also, the 52-week course of how to go from part-time into full-time ministry. Part-time ministry to full-time ministry. And it's something that I teach. Comes out every Friday starting this coming Friday. And that will come to you free. This is what you'll get if you sign up tonight. Free of charge. You'll walk home with this. It's a Game Changer t-shirt. And a Game Changer mug. And a cassette, a double cassette of my best of. Some of you still have cassettes, but it's a best of all, like, the best hits over the years, blah, blah, blah. The new CD I just recorded called The Game Changer. Took a lot of the songs you heard here tonight, they're all on here. And the Game Changer tote bag. Really cool, you can put anything you want in there. Groceries, dirty socks, clean socks. All this comes together, you get it all for free if you sign up tonight. And you could be a member and get a chance to send your questions in. I'll answer your questions, it's really cool. But if you sign up in the back there, or in the back room. So I hope some of you join. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'd love to stay in contact with you, okay? Let me hear somebody say, no way, we're not ashamed. Are there any ladies here who love the Lord? Where's all the ladies? All the ladies who love Jesus. All the ladies up on your feet. All the ladies. Let me hear the ladies. Say, no way, we of the gospel. Holy hands. To the name, no way we're not ashamed, no way we of the gospel,
of the gospel, Lord, His name,
holy hands
are lifted high,
to the name,
Jesus Christ.
Where's all the men? Men, join them, all the men, come on, men, join them, men, come on. All right, let me hear some testosterone in this room now, need to hear some bass in this chorus. All the men, all the ladies, no way we're not ashamed of the gospel or His name. You're on.
No way we are not ashamed
of the gospel.
Of the gospel or His name.
Holy hands.
Holy hands are lifted
high. To the name.
To the name.
No way we're not ashamed. No.
No way we are not ashamed
of the gospel.
Of the gospel or His name.
Holy hands.
Holy hands are lifted high.
To the name. All right, everybody, give those hands right there. There's the beat. Those of you that are overly Caucasian, I want to hear somebody say, no way, we're not ashamed. This is our voice here tonight. We're not ashamed of the gospel here tonight. I say, no way, we are not ashamed. No way, we are not ashamed. Gospel.
Of the gospel, Lord, His name.
Holy
hands are lifted high.
To the name.
To the name.
No way we're not ashamed.
No way we are not ashamed. Of the gospel, Lord, His name.
Holy
hands are lifted high.
To the name.
To the name of Jesus Christ.
You got time for one more? One more? One more? Everybody. Born. He was but born to a virgin named Mary on Christmas Day. He bled and he died on the cross to take sin away. You take him high, you take him low, you take JC wherever you go. Now tell me who? Tell me who's in the house. Y'all tell me who's in the house. Jesus Christ is in the house. Is JC in your house?
Who's the only one that got my back, no matter where I be? He's the only one that gave his life for a sinner like me. He can give me anything that I need to tell you who or why that can make you believe. He can give me a JC, and you better remember that. Who?
Yeah. Who?
Yeah.
Who? Tell me who's in the house. Y'all tell me who's in the house. Y'all tell me who's in the house. Tell me who's in the house. Jesus Christ is in. Jesus Christ, he's in the house. Good night, everybody. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Good night.
We can do better than that for Carmen. Let's hear it again. Good night. I had fun. Did you guys have fun? Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. All right. So in about 20 or 25 minutes, Carmen's going to be available for autographs in our multi-purpose room. Real simple to get to. There's a hallway right out here up in the foyer. You can go from there right straight to the multi-purpose room. We've got, oh boy, what do we got? We got brats. We got hot dogs if you guys are hungry. Lots of brownies, that kind of stuff. We also have a bunch more of his merchandise out there. And there's a merchandise sale. You guys were awesome. Thanks again for coming. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much for supporting us. You know, the first couple concerts we had a ticket price. This one is free. This one's free because we charge a ticket price the first two, and now we're hoping that we can keep these things going and keep these concerts free and hope you guys still enjoy them, okay? Tell all your friends. Make sure you like us on Facebook. If you like us on Facebook, we put everything on there. You can see all of our upcoming events. And if you're, I know we've got a lot of people that came a long way for this concert, but if you're local and you'd like to, check those events. We have things going every other week. We have something happening. Sometimes we have one or two things a week. So everybody's welcome, all right? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this night. We thank you, Father God, for the souls that were saved tonight. We thank you for the hearts that were changed. Jesus, Carmen's a great man, but you are the man, and we thank you for that. Bless the rest of our evening. Bless this time. Bless everybody that came as they travel back to their homes. We pray a hedge of protection around them and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming.